26, second baseman number 2, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Here's the 1-2 line drive, leaping catch by Nico Hoerner. Sensational grab by Nico. Fully extended and then hit the deck. Beautiful play by Nico Hoerner.
Fair ball down the line. Nico into second. Swanson into score. The Cubs add on.
This is an all-time first. You and I are going to dinner two nights in a row at Chicago. Got the best steakhouse in Chicago. Congratulations, and are you going to let me go this second time or not?
Absolutely. Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
Go enjoy it. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, Nico Hoerner.
Hang on 1 second.
After pre-consultation, obstruction occurred at second base.
Nico Hoerner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's always fun when we get the opportunity to talk with Nico Hoerner. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. There is news from Nico's clubhouse, and that news is that the Cubs have activated Ian Happ from the 10-day injured list and recalled right-handed pitcher Ethan Roberts. In corresponding moves, Porter Hodge has been placed on the 15-day IL, and Moises Ballesteros has been optioned back to AAA Iowa.
Goodbye, Moises Ballesteros.
He'll be back.
We will see him soon again. Right, Nico? We'll see Moises soon again. It was fun to watch him swing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully for him, that's just a little taste of what goes on here and nothing to work on or change or just keep being himself, and he'll be right back where he needs to be.
Lawrence, I think we got a suggestion there from the umpires that we can use during our conversations with Nico. We can call obstruction on Nico if he just, like, even just gets
if
his...
If he just does his job?
Yeah, if he just does his job, like, gets his foot involved a little bit in the conversation. We have to have, though, a group consultation. That was new to all of us. I thought they said recalculation, but they said group consultation. So
after pre-consultation, obstruction occurred at second base.
So just watch out, Nico. That could happen at any point during the interviews from here on out, okay?
Yeah. We've been told that the umpires can't both see safe and out and obstruction, so they are helping each other out on that one.
Okay. How do you feel about that particular call and the rule overall? Because I keep finding myself, I understand the concept. I understand that you don't want collisions. I get that. I also think that defenders have a right to, you know, catch the ball where it's thrown and slap down a tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the right call by the rule. Had zero impact on the safer out. I think he was probably safe anyways, but the... Yeah, the big takeaway is just like when you receive the baseball, you can't be blocking the base at all, which I know. But when a guy is sliding head first into the back of the base and the bases are a lot larger than they used to be, like there's just lots of real estate and you're letting the ball travel as much as you can. And I was not in the proper place, but I'll make adjustments.
That's a really good answer. And I appreciate your honesty on that. Did last night's game feel as wild as it looked to us that were at home watching it?
Yeah, it was an emotional game. Good, bad, everything in between. There was just like a kind of felt like three parts to that game in a way. And like, a lot of fun, exciting stuff, big plays, little moments. Obviously, you can slice and dice the last inning as much as you want, but there's so many moments in a game like that. And a lot of things we did really well, things we can do better. Obviously, stung when you're down to the last strike. So that one definitely hurts. All the losses do, but yeah.
What was the most fun last night? What was the most fun moment for you?
I mean, Miggy's bases clearing double / triples, but then it wasn't. I don't know. You know, like this, it's kind of weird play where I have to tag and Ballesteros is right on my back and then we both score and then, but then he's out. But it was also a really great moment. I don't know. Just like that was kind of captured that game in a nutshell right there, I feel like.
Yeah, so on that play, like we were talking about it before the show, it looked like, to be honest, you slid head first into home plate just for fun. Is that true? Like, did you think you needed to slide? It looked like an elective choice.
I was looking at Dansby and I could tell he had like some sort of hesitancy about what he was doing, but I didn't realize there was a runner. I had no idea there was a runner behind me. So if there's a doubt, I usually just like, so easy just to touch the plate with your hand and get in there. And so I just slid, but I had no concept of a runner behind me. And I think that's what his facial expression I was seeing was kind of reflecting, is like, he didn't want to tell me to do anything that was going to mess up the runner behind me or things like that. So yeah, that was a unique play.
Yeah. But it looked really joyful. Like when you were a kid, did you ever, when it was raining, like, you know, sneak onto a golf course and like go sliding on a fairway or that kind of thing, or like a slip and slide in the backyard? That's what it looked like at that moment.
I enjoy the head first slide for sure. It's a celebratory act sometimes.
The celebratory act of the head first slide. It is.
What's your feeling on which one is safer?
I mean, I think sliding foot first into home plate is just really hard. Like you saw in Bally's play, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, but it's hard to touch a flat object with your foot. Like you're not sliding into anything. So I like going head first into home just because I feel like you can make sure you touch the front corner of the base every single time and you don't have that like foot pop up or anything like that. So,
When you talk about it as a celebratory act, it reminds me of that Bears thing when they won at the end a couple years ago and Justin Fields and the whole team.
The game against San Francisco.
Yeah, they went diving into the end zone and did a head first slide. Justin, a former ball player, must agree with you, right? There's something very freeing about it.
It feels really good. It feels good. Not so much afterwards, but definitely during it. And a little exclamation point.
Before the show, we were talking a little bit about Miguel Amaya and how Amaya, if you look at his splits like from the second half of last season to where he is now, he's having a really great run. For you, when you see the light click on for a teammate and they go on a run like that, what's that like for you?
I mean, it's especially satisfying when the person is really easy to root for. And like Miggy's, even now that with him producing such a high level offensively, like his mood and his approach to the game is still pitcher first, you know, like his approach to the day. I feel like when he gets it to the ballpark, when he's in the middle of the game, like the emotions he wears on his sleeve is much more about like how he's approaching the staff and like his commitment there. And like when you have a catcher that does that, it sets such a great tone for the entire group. And so for him, I think getting to the big leagues fast, like he did, like he didn't play a lot in Double A and Triple A. He was at a point where his first priority was handling the staff and learning on the fly there. And then it's so impressive that he's been able to develop offensively as well.
Yeah, man, the development path is fascinating, isn't it? And it seems so different for everybody. Were you ever asked to make a big mechanical change like Matt Shaw was asked to over the last 30 games?
No, I haven't really had a lot of, honestly, offensively, the Cubs have usually been pretty hands-off with me. Obviously, there's been things they want me to improve on, and you know, we talk about that, but as far as like how to physically go about it, not so much. Obviously, there's things along the way you can improve on, but nothing where it's been like a sit down, like, hey, this needs to be different, things like that.
Yeah, because we were fascinated with the way that it apparently went down. We're like, where Matt was asked to make the leg kick a little smaller, like in batting practice and stuff like that, but he didn't even start doing it in a game until like Friday. So, and like we had thought like that he would just start doing it right away, but I guess they wanted him to just go down there and rake and still feel confident and like get all that back while he worked on it, and then do it in a game. That's an interesting thought process. Does that make sense to you, that methodology, to just let a kid be himself and hit well and then do it 18, 19 games into a minor league stint?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenging thing when you're dealing with young players with a really strong track record of success. Like, I think everything that Matty's done in his career from college to the minor leagues to spring trainings tells you a lot more about him than just the 60 at-bats he had in the big leagues. Obviously, that matters, but it's such a small sample size, and we faced some pretty special pitching in that stretch, too. So, you know, I remember Anthony Iaposi, our old hitting coach here, I remember telling he was telling me about when they got Chris Bryant, someone asked him, like, hey, when are you going to stand him up and get him out of that crouch? And he's like, I'm not touching him. He's going to, like, who am I to tell him what to do? And obviously, KB is an incredible player, and I think Maddie will be too. But it's just guys are – there's been so many great players who have unorthodox movements, and you don't ever want to change somebody, but you also want to help them, and that's such a fine line. And the biggest thing, of course, is, like, having belief in what you do. So if the changes are something that Maddie believes in and he feels like it's still him, a version of himself that he's confident in, then I'm all for it.
What's it like when a guy – is sent down and then comes back to a clubhouse? How do you guys greet him? What's the mood like when he returns?
I think like when you're on the other end of it, like whether it's coming back from a rehab stint or you get called up, like kind of have this like bubbling excitement, and then you get to the locker room and got everyone's just about their, you know, daily grind and things like that. And, like, they give you the what's up and hey and check in, and you know, we've been talking to him and we're in touch, but you just get right back into the flow of things. And it was awesome to see him, big swing in that game last night, kind of overlooked moment. To that ball he drove to right center was so impressive, on a breaking ball away in a tough situation, and just a really, really impressive swing by him. And I was fired up. It was a ground rule double, but he would have kept going home if Q had waved him home. I was saying he should have just kept sending him just because he was flying.
He was flying. So I love that. You wanted Quentin Berry to just send him home, even though he knew it was ground rule, just to let Matt get up, burn off some steam and just keep running.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. But he played a great game last night. Good defense, too. And it's one game, but it's got to feel so good. First game back, so it immediately impacts all parts of the game like that. Stolen base, too. Yeah, he did it all.
It's funny. Like, so there he goes back to the big leagues. And this is like Edvard Cabrera of the Marlins. A lot of people probably don't know him, whatever. Because, like, the Marlins have a lot of good, interesting young pitchers. But that guy, it's just, he's filthy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Like
really
that, good stuff. What is that change up? Nico, what is that? It's one of the, it's like that power change thing that they throw down there. What the hell is that thing?
Yeah. You kind of don't realize the pitch type until after you've swung at it, which is a sign of a good pitch, I think. he's got something going every direction. He threw a lot of breaking balls last night. We've kind of seen different versions of him over the years, but I thought he had pretty good stuff last night. I mean, we had really good at bats off him.
It's just like the normal standard major league pitcher is just so filthy and ridiculous to deal with.
And I think that's something that's lost in all this when we talk about players getting called up, is the stuff in AAA is really good. Like you're seeing probably similar levels of velocity and you know, maybe raw stuff, but the difference in pitching between AAA and the big leagues is such a big gap as far as like game planning and execution and just consistency, and it's a completely different thing. And I think that sometimes I hear AAA and the big leagues kind of talked about as like similar levels of like talent, but it's not.
What's more frustrating? Is it frustrating when you don't quite know what a pitcher's got going on and maybe they make you look a little silly? Or is it more frustrating when you hit a ball hard, like you did late in the game, 99 miles per hour off the bat, 29 degree launch angle? Is that more frustrating than what we would consider a bad at bat?
I mean, very different emotions. I'd obviously much rather hit a ball hard for an out. You want results, and you obviously want, like for me, I haven't hit for any power this year, but it was just a swing I was really excited about, and to take a strong swing on a slow breaking pitch. And that was a ball, you know, that it is a home run a lot of the time. It wasn't last night, but I definitely thought I had a chance off the bat. So hurt the heart a little bit, but just exciting knowing I'm going in the right direction.
How do you keep yourself from over swinging, knowing that you have connected on a lot of, and they haven't gone over the fence? How do you play that mind game with yourself to not worry about it?
I mean, I think if I was like Kyle Schwarber or something and I hadn't homered for 150 at bats or something, it'd be a little different, because it's a huge part of your value. Obviously the home run is the most valuable ball in our game, and whether you do it a lot or not, the more you can do it is a better baseball player you are. That's pretty black and white. So, but for my skill set, it's not essential for being a productive player, but it does take me from being a good player to a great player. So I can still be really valuable on a day-to-day basis without homering, but a home run obviously is a game-changing play. You saw a three-run homer from Miggy last night, like immediately flip that game around. And I can do that. I haven't done it yet, but
I think you're close, Nico. I've been telling the group chat. I think you're close, and I wish I could bet it, but I feel like June is going to be a month for you.
Yeah, just keep squaring them up. I've been pulling the ball without thinking pull, which is usually a good sign for me, just being on time, and they'll come.
Well, see, that's interesting because these last, I think it's the last, 16 games, you're hitting .308. You know, it's like you are, and it looks like you're locked in. There was one of the games, it was the Friday game against the White Sox. You were on base five times, had three fielder's choices and the two hits. Like the contact is there. It seems like you're in a good spot mechanically and kind of, you know, the way you were talking about it. Do you feel like you're in a good spot up there?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the stretches we get great results or not so much. And, you know, we've had times on here where I get good results, but I'm honest with you guys that I'm, you know, not really in the best place. But yeah, I mean, I feel solid. I feel like myself. I feel like I'm leaving almost every at bat feeling competitive, and I gave myself a good chance. And you know, part of last year that was challenging is I felt like I didn't really seize like moments that really could swing games one way or another more than like the overall like stat line. And like a lot of guys on our team this year, there's been more times this year where I felt like I've had, you know, hits that really changed the course of the direction of the game. And that's what really you feel in your heart and feel strong about.
Lawrence, I only have goofy and ridiculous stuff to ask Nico about. Do you have any other like legit smart baseball things?
Yeah. What
are we going to talk pizza or what?
That's where I'm going to go. But Lawrence has real stuff for you.
What do you think of rivalry weekend?
I mean, I think it's great. I heard some stats about viewership that were really great around baseball, and I think kind of getting back, it's a nice like bridge into summer. And I think when the game really takes off. So yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah. I feel like every time we play the White Sox, it's always a, you know, an exciting weekend, and it seemed like around baseball it was well received.
Yeah. There was some good juice all around the league. And then Miguel Vargas got hit by Brad Keller, and we was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Got a little
sandpaper going on there.
A little bit right there. All right. Where are we on pizza design? For those who don't know, last week it was Nico's birthday, and we gave him the opportunity to design his own pizza, the Nico Horner special for Rinaldi's. Have you gotten in touch with the people at Rinaldi's, and do you have any thoughts? Has it evolved at all?
Yeah, it's evolved. I have not gotten directly in touch yet. Been talking to a lot of trusted tasters out there, and I don't want to like bite off the style that they have already so much, but I do really love the hot honey, so that's going to be definitely a part of it. I like pizzas a little more well done.
Me
so
too.
I probably have it a little bit on the crispier side, just in the how it's cooked, but a little crispy, you know, regular sauce, a little lighter on the cheese, extra pepperoni. If they have a spicy pepperoni, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Hot honey, and then the controversial one that probably ruffles some feathers, I really love pineapple on pizza.
After crew consultation, obstruction occurred at second base.
Tanny wants to call obstruction on you for the pineapple, but
yeah,
I gotta tell you,
I love it. I love it with spice. I love it with pepperoni. The contrast is amazing. If it's not too heavy on cheese too, I think cheese and pineapple is a little weird. I get where people come from with that, but if you go a little lighter on the cheese, I think you're in a good place. It's a pizza I would sure love to get, and hopefully there's some people out there that'd be excited about it too. So I think that's the general direction.
I think we became a team today. Nico, I have loved pineapple on pizza my entire life.
And he's been afraid to tell anyone.
No, I've talked about
this
it.
This is a safe space.
I've talked about it, and I've gotten abuse. I've gotten a lot of abuse. That's why there does need to be a collective where you come to meetings and you admit that you like it, and you just kind of deal with your issues together. So, yeah, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Okay. I just, you know, it feels a little selfish if this is going to be going to a good cause if I'm putting something on there that people hate, you know? So that's there's some dilemma there.
I wouldn't think too hard about that because people will also just want to support it because your name is on it.
Yes.
And it's for a great cause. So do you. Like, you should do you and then draw people to it and say, hey, maybe what happens is that all those pineapple people that have been in the dark, been afraid to say that they like pineapple on their pizza, maybe they come forth and you will have opened a door for them.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm hoping to... Yeah, hoping the proceeds go to BIG Baseball. It's a baseball academy that has a bunch of travel ball teams, but this would be more specifically for their summer camps that they run. So done some stuff with them in the past, but they've always done a great job of, you know, giving good access to baseball in the city, and hopefully that would help out.
That's excellent, and people will want to support it for that too. So they'll be like, "I got to get Nico's pizza, and it's for a good cause." Okay, I'll try the pineapple.
They can take the pineapple off.
I'm with you on the flavor. And then, did you ever go on a date with Bruce Levine at Chicago Cut after he gave you that?
Yeah, we're still working on logistics. You know, he's got a hot social schedule, so I got to fit in somewhere.
It's
with
true,
him, but we'll figure it out.
It's
a popular man.
It's the truth.
For good reason.
Thanks for joining us. Have a good night tonight against the Marlins, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, perfect, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man.